Carmela, have you ever had wine from an egg?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, have you ever had an orange wine?
I think so, yes.
Oh, really? Okay, how about this? Do you know what regenerative agriculture is?
No, but I'm curious.
Well, stay tuned and we'll fill you in.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier for reasonably priced wine. And this is my wife and wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
We are.
I have some weird accents.
I know what's going on.
I don't know.
Well, right out of the gate,
Let's do it. Okay, for new listeners to our podcast, what we usually do in every episode is taste and review three reasonably priced wines, which means under $20, that you should be able to find easily in your local store or online. Or something like that. And sometimes we also have interviews like the one we're having today with Tabitha Compton from Compton Family Wines. Interviews with people involved in the wine business.
Mm, I love it.
Yeah, and today, guess what?
What?
We're going to do both. I mean, is your mind blown?
Totally. Right now? I mean, there's no better day than this.
I know. It's the best ever.
Right.
Okay, so first we're going to share our conversation with Tabitha, and then we're going to try three wines that we bought from their winery in Philomath, Oregon.
Awesome.
Philomath. Oh, my God, I said it wrong.
Shoot, Joe.
Okay, including, and these will be some, we also are including some intriguing and different wines that we think you'll really want to know about.
Okay.
Right?
I'm so excited.
So one of them, I know, and you already know what they are.
I'm so excited because I know what they are. And so I'm excited about them.
The first one is a Chardonnay that is what?
It is grown in an egg.
It's not grown, actually. It's not grown. It is fermented in
an egg.
In an egg.
In a big, big egg.
In a real big concrete egg.
Truly. You got to check it out.
That's right. And another wine we're going to taste is called a Ramato, which is what?
It's an orange wine.
It's an orange wine.
It's a beautiful orange wine. Not just any old orange. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. It's a Pinot Grigio or Pinot Gris, but it's orangey. Orangey. Mm-hmm. And the Italian version, because we're Italian, is Ramato.
Nice.
Okay. And then we're also going to try.
Sort of nice.
Okay. All right. And we're also going to try one of their highly regarded Pinot Noirs. And I love a good Pinot.
What a lineup.
Pretty cool. And I do have to say this. I think maybe people care, maybe they don't care, but I am going to say this because I think it's important. Our reviews are real. We are not paid or compensated for our reviews. We mean it, Tabitha. Nobody's paying us right now, okay?
Shoot.
We're begging to be. These wines were not given to us. We paid for them.
Right.
We are. So all the things that we're doing are real. We're not sponsored. How about that? And I think that's important for us to tell you because we want you to know that we wouldn't have just anybody on our podcast.
No.
We went down and we'll talk about it in the interview, but we went to the winery. We didn't know anything about them. We didn't talk to them beforehand. We bought the wines and we tasted the wines and we really liked them. And so we asked Tabitha if she would be on our show.
Can we also just back up for a minute and just say like quadruple star hospitality at Compton Winery?
Yeah, they were super nice.
I mean, we just didn't even know what we were in for.
No.
And totally blew us away. Talk about mind blown.
Basically, they have a really generous wine tasting anyway. It was like they offer you like 7 wines or something in the tasting. Mm-hmm. I think by the time we walked out, we had had like 14 wines.
Right. And we were spending like ample time with the winemaker and the owner.
Yeah.
I mean, Tabitha just really, she just.
It was what they do for any customer.
Right. It was authentic. It was exactly what they would do for anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're super excited about this. We think you're going to enjoy the interview. I think you're going to learn a lot. One of the things that we learned from her when we were down there and then learned about more in this interview is their focus on regenerative agriculture, which is something new to us, but it's actually very old. It's a step beyond organic. And I think you're going to really find it interesting to hear what regenerative agriculture or regenerative viticulture is. Mm-hmm. We need to get to the interview. But before we do, Carmela, I do need to give out our shameless plug.
Okay.
Okay. We would love it if you would subscribe to our podcast so you never have to miss a show. I mean, who'd want to miss a show?
No, right? Never.
Mm-mm. And we'd love for you to give us a rating and a review, and we'd love it if you would reach out to us and give us your thoughts or ideas, or even, I don't know, give us some recipes.
What?
How about that?
What?
Why can't they give us recipes?
No, they totally can, but that's just a new one. That's a new one. I wasn't expecting that. I'll take it.
Okay. I like to throw curveballs.
Right.
Okay. So you can reach out to us via Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast or on our website at thewinepairpodcast.com. And this week, you know, we always say, here's somebody you should tell about the podcast. So this week, I think you should tell your barista about the podcast.
Oh, why the barista?
Well, because that person treats you right every morning.
True.
They are like, every morning you go to them and you say, I want this thing, and they make it for you, and they hand it to you, and they say, have a nice day, and they're nice to you. So do something nice back.
Pay it forward.
That's right.
Pay it forward.
Before they pay it back.
True.
What? I don't even know what that means.
Okay. True, I said. True.
Yes, and true. Okay, so without further ado, let's get on to our conversation with Tabitha Compton. Welcome, Tabitha. We're so happy to have you here today and learn more about you. So I guess we should give information on how we met. So we were in Corvallis. We were doing a college visit for our youngest son, and we were on a trip with Carmela's cousins too. They have a son the same age as our son. So we're in Oregon. We need to visit a winery.
Right.
They gave me the job of research. And so I looked around and I found Compton Family Wines. You all had amazing reviews, a really strong reputation. And so I told the group, we should go there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, let's go.
We did.
And we had an awesome time.
Yes, it was a blast.
Yeah.
It definitely was a highlight of that couple of nights there. We really enjoyed ourselves. And you went way out of your way to just make us feel welcome and tasted so many great wines. So thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys visiting us and doing all your research. Good job.
Do you remember, was it a memorable visit?
Oh, totally. Well, yes. I love when people want to learn and listen and hear about wine. Because it's my passion, labor of love. And so it's fun to talk about our wine and our story.
And when we were there, Carmela said you gave us a lot of wines to taste. You told us some awesome stories. So hopefully we'll get some of those stories today too. And then we also bought a lot of wine and we joined your wine list. So we'll tell people a little bit more about that at the end too. We are going to get started to asking you some questions. And one of the reasons we were so intrigued to have you is that you are a family winery. You are a husband and wife team. We thought it was just super compelling story and really interesting. So my first question is, just tell us a little bit about how you started Compton Family Wines, how you came to be in, I'm going to say it wrong, Philomath?
No, you did great.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Nice. So how you came to be in Philomath and what your inspiration was for starting?
My husband and I met on a blind date when we were in college. Well, that's kind of a fun thing to know about us. And we were actually wanted to have our winery in downtown Corvallis originally. And then wineries need so much space and square footage. So the more we dug around, we found a location in the adjacent 10 minutes away from Corvallis. And that's a small little, when we started looking in 2002, it was a kind of a logging town. And now we're pretty well known for a lot of cool wineries in our area. So we were happy and excited to bring kind of some tourism stuff to Philomath. And we're happy we did. We love the vibe, the small town community. And the town has just always been so supportive of us. So it's been a fun journey. And next year is our 20th year in business. So that's fun too.
Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you. We actually started as the Haley Wine Cellars. Then we went to Spindrift. And then we also have Theo II, our sparkling wine. And then we have Compton Family Wine. So we have evolved a lot throughout our 20 years. I feel like we're just still growing up. But yeah, this is hopefully our final label. So we've had lots of changes and we've been able to learn a lot too.
And when you started out in Philomath, were there other wineries around there or was it pretty sparse and has it really kind of filled in since then?
Yeah, there were a couple around us. But they're on the outskirts. We were the main one like in town. I think there's about five or six. There's actually more wineries in Philomath than there are in Corvallis. And it's always kind of been that way, even though Corvallis is a bigger town. Yeah.
And was that harder? I mean, the fact that you were sort of a little bit on an island, did that make it harder or were there advantages or disadvantages to that?
So I have a pretty cool husband and he started his kind of journey in winemaking as a vineyard grower, and he actually got a job working for Oregon State that has a research vineyard. And he didn't get the job because he knew how to grow grapes. He got the job because he knew how to drive a tractor. But he's also a very keen guy. And so he had his own vineyard management company, and he got job offers from all over the state. But we wanted to stay here just because we knew that it would be, I don't know, it would just be more interesting to us to, I guess, work our way up and not just be settled up in McMinnville, kind of the wine area up north or even down south. So we knew it was kind of up and coming, and we never one for doing things easily. So we liked the challenge. And again, we were just excited to be in kind of the small town.
Well, I'm wondering too, was there someone that mentored you or was instrumental in helping you get into the business early on?
Well, as I mentioned, my husband had his vineyard management company and then started making wine as an amateur. So this vineyard that he worked for, people from all over the Northwest would come and make wines from Oregon State's research vineyard. So they would come and pick their grapes, and people from British Columbia all the way down to California would come and collect their grapes, make the wine, and then go home and make the wine. So he was an amateur winemaker for a long time and then started making wine professionally. But with our amateur kind of winemaking, there's a lot of guys he had worked with in wine, and Scott Robbins was really instrumental. He was one of the first people we actually met out here and gave Matt his first job. They were just so great. And they actually had been making wine, I can't tell you how many years, but a really long time. But they all kind of saw Matt as having like a special niche, and most of the wines he made were always fantastic. So everybody kind of saw him as kind of up and coming and a guy to look up to. And even though we feel like we've learned a lot from Scott Robbins, they all seem to. We all still work together with them and the kind of the whole winemaking group, and they all look up to Matt now too, which is pretty cool.
So cool. Wow. It sounds like you've had a lot of support, but you've also been a real like team player too with the other people in your area.
That's the one thing I have fun telling people, because I just feel like the industry in itself is totally like works together and super team oriented. And I have people that will come into the tasting room and say, I was just your competitor. And I'm like, well, I don't feel like it's a competitor, because if you're drinking wine, what's good for one is good for all. And they look at me like, oh, and I go, I just really feel like it. If you're in our area, we're just blessed that you're all visiting us. I feel like you're helping to support the industry. So that's my take.
Like when it comes to the time to crush, are you working together? Is it still kind of separate?
That's a great question. We have our own custom crush facility. So we do make wine, some local, and other people kind of have small labels they want to do. But also, yes, simply answer the question, if somebody has an equipment they need help with, vice versa, we all just kind of jump in and help if need be. I can't remember what year, but all the fruit came in really early on, and some of the larger wineries needed fermenters, so we'd share and go back and forth. There is some of that, but it's kind of all hands on deck, and we're all pretty kind of quiet though too during crush, because we, you know, you're in the middle of harvest, so there's a short frame of time with that too. But no, I do think as a whole, the whole industry is super supportive of each other, at least in my mind they are.
What do you think is the hardest thing about being a winemaker? I mean, I think people have a feeling that winemaking is sort of glamorous, but you know, when we were there and talking with you, you were very clear. Nope, we have a farm and I do a lot of farm jobs. And what do you think people don't know, and what do you find is challenging about the winemaking business?
I like to think of our winery just kind of laid back, not pretentious, where I try to make people feel cozy, that they want to hang out and stay for a while. And I think you guys mentioned that.
Yes.
And customer service is so important to us and our business and our customers, and also taking care of our staff members. I mean, if you don't have that, then you really don't have much. So that's all important to me. As far as winemaking, what's the hardest thing, or about the whole having a winery? Is wearing so many hats, and yes, being out in the vineyard and making, growing the grapes and stuff. Honestly, that's more my husband's thing, but I am also supportive and out there with that too, with our regenerative farming on our property that we're doing. And you know, going all the way to the finished product. I never thought that I would be, you know so much about bottles and labels and glue that you put the labels on and printing. And there's just so much to it, but it's also fun. And when we started, I thought, oh yeah, I'm having a winery, it'd be cool to go sell. And then I had three kids and I couldn't go take my kids to the liquor stores and stuff to sell with me and drag them along like I thought I could. So things have evolved. It's super different, but it's all fun, challenging. And I love figuring it out, like problem solving. I'm teaching my kids that recently, like things, especially on farming, there's problems that have to be solved. So it's just kind of thinking your way around it. I've always kind of been pretty active, and I like the challenge of staying busy too.
Amazing. Well, I know you've mentioned that you have children, and I'm curious, you know, are you hoping that your children, you want to continue in the wine business? Are they interested in it?
Well, when they were young, they were totally interested in it, and they would stand there by the window and wave and say hello and open the doors to with people. And I still have longtime customers that remember when I was pregnant and had all these kids. Yes, they used to say a lot that they wanted to be involved in the business, but now I have full teenagers in the house, and they all have their own plans. But I see the light. And that was the whole point of us starting the business, is to have something to pass down to our kids. So I hope so. We are big foodies and we cook with our kids. Our whole family's involved. And my youngest has actually started to do his own fermentation. He did not know what he wanted for Christmas. And so he wanted his pop top bottles and heaters for his kombucha, which was great. He's all into fermentation, and they kind of started making cheese and stuff too. So I hope with all these little things that they do that they want to do that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Tabitha, you mentioned earlier, you mentioned farm to table. You also mentioned regenerative agriculture. So I'd like to learn a little bit more about that. What does that mean in practice, and why do you think it's important?
Yeah. So like I mentioned with our kids and fermentation, we do kind of live a lifestyle of trying to live off the land. It's more in sync with nature. It's working the ground up to repair, rebuild, and revitalize life. So working with the natural microbiomes in the soil, trying to build up the soil. And by doing that, we have livestock out in the vineyard. So we've got a whole bunch of sheep. I've got some cooney pigs that are kind of my pets, but they also run around the vineyard all year round because they are short legs. They're short legs and short snouts, so they're actually grazing pigs. So they roam around the vineyard and can eat all the different grasses and stuff. By having all the livestock in the vineyard, and we have chickens and geese too, having them all roam around there, we're doing the natural fertilization by using their manure naturally. And so trying to build up the soil and getting more diversity in the soil is really what you're going for. So it's farming back to where farming started is what it essentially is. So the difference between regenerative farming and organic and conventional farming is conventional farming uses more synthetics, but they also work up the land. And organic doesn't use synthetics, but they do work up the ground and mix up the microbiomes by ripping up the soil and disturbing the soil actually more than even conventional, because they're not using the sprays and such that you would to do the weeding. So, but if I have to make a choice of where I'm eating, I buy organic, but I'm finally seeing more regenerative agriculture on the label, so which is pretty cool. But it's just kind of a new thing. It's an old new thing that people are kind of hopefully bringing back and using less equipment, so your tractors aren't making passes as much too. Mm-hmm. And by doing the regenerative agriculture, there's more nutrients in the food that we eat and such too. So we do have some sheep and goats out there in the vineyard too when the fruit isn't growing.
And so is it correct to say then regenerative farming is by its nature organic? It's just an extra step.
Yeah, it's creating a healthier soil and more diverse, vibrant ecosystem. So getting richer soil that we're not ripping up and getting more things to grow, getting birds to come in that will eat the bugs. But we also think of if the health of the soil is good, then the plants are healthier too. And then we don't have to spray and take care of the vines if the soil and everything else is healthy. So that's how we look at it, is building up the soil, getting more diversified microbiomes in the soil that are healthier, that the plants will be able to take care of themselves.
And then how do you think that impacts your wine?
Well, to us, we've always been farmers before and growers before winemakers. And my husband will still say that. Like, the quality of the fruit is really what makes the wine to us.
That totally makes sense what you're saying, because at the end of the day, what is wine? It is a food. Mm-hmm. And so the food is an excellent quality, you're going to have an excellent quality product. Wine coming out of it.
And our winemaking style has always been minimal handling and through the vineyard all the way through the winemaking. Like I said, my husband's been a farmer first, and we're big foodies. So we love nice acidic wines, not overly acidic, but balanced, that it fills your whole palate, that goes well with food. Because I feel like if it's just dry and you don't have the acid, you don't salivate and want more, though, too. But we're doing that through a minimal handling, and the fruit is being picked at the right time. So the acidity is nice and such. So that's what we're going for. Yeah. And our farm to table are, we've got a couple different labels. So we have our Old Vine Collector series, which is our gray label that's actually been around for longer than our Garden series label, is something we just rebranded. We used to be, like I said, we used to be Spindrift Cellars. And now in 2020, we rebranded to Compton Family Wines. And on that label, which I thought would take us 3 months to rebrand and come up with our packaging, it took us 9 months to come up with that final label. But there's a little picture of cherry blossoms and then bachelor buttons. We grew our own flowers for our wedding and a lot of the food for our wedding. So it kind of goes back to that farm to table lifestyle.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. Mm-hmm. I will say too, you're speaking our language with high acid wines.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You're making me thirsty here.
And hungry.
And hungry, yeah.
You have gotten some good recognition for your wine. So are there any, you want to talk about any of those, some of the accolades you've gotten, and any stories about them?
We won top 100 wines of the world in Wine and Spirits magazine. Wine enthusiasts we've been mentioned in as well, and gotten some pretty high ratings. So typically our Pinots rate between 92 and 94 ratings. And all of those, actually, like I said, when we started, the reviews meant a lot, and I would sell quite a bit of wine. But now there's such a, the wine industry is a saturated market, so it's a little bit more difficult to sell. And so I actually, the Prince of Pinot, called Pinot Files, he had actually emailed me and said, I love your wines. I'm kind of rejuvenated. I'm super excited about your Oregon wines again, because I tasted your stuff and it was fantastic. So he did a nice article on us and has been reviewing our wines, and he loved our wines. And then he's like, I'm going to write an article and I'm going to come out in a couple of weeks. And I kept checking like my emails and such, and or his webpage, and it didn't come out. And then finally on a Monday, I got a whole bunch of online orders. Well, this gentleman has a huge following, and a whole bunch of his buddies had called me and were super excited. And so that was really fun, because all these other big magazines, wine magazines, I have sold some, but not as much as I had from the Prince of Pinot. So that was pretty cool. He does have a cool following, and I still stay in touch with some of those customers. And then one of my really fun honor was a visitor that I had. And have you guys heard of the International Pinot Noir Celebration in McMinnville? It is a really cool event.
You mentioned this.
No, you did mention this.
We did talk about this. Oh, yes.
I did have a funny story about that when you guys were there.
Yeah.
Anyways, people come from all over to come to this event. And so you have to send in your wine and then be voted if you are allowed to come in. And they only let people every so often come after every couple of years, each winery is invited. Anyways, we've been participating in that a couple different times. And one time a gentleman just showed up into our tasting room who had traveled for IPNC out of the country. And he came and said, I want to taste your wines. And I'm like, great, where are you from? I always ask people where they're from. I like to hear what's going on with people. And he's like, I'm here at IPNC. And I was thinking, wow, I want to hear all the wineries you've come to. And he's like, oh no, I just came to visit you. And I'm like, wow, well, why is that? And he's like, I follow religiously the Wine and Spirits magazine, and you guys have gotten a lot of good press in that, and I came to visit you. That was pretty sweet. And I was honored of that.
When you hear people kind of compare your wines to others, I'm curious about, do they think this is a typical Oregon Pinot? Is there something different about it? Or is it similar to the Burgundy? Or is there something that, some way for people to kind of get a picture in their head of how you create your Pinot?
Yeah, good question. I kind of will tie that back to the regenerative farming and the minimal handling, because what I do hear from people is they think our wines are different because they're not overly worked. Typically, our Willamette Valley Pinot is 10 months on French oak. So it's not going to be heavily oaked. And as my grandmother would say, I don't want it to taste like the wine barrel. You know, but so we're going fruit forward. Oak is a spice, and minimal handling with that. We're not overusing the oak. So I feel like people do it. You get more of the true essence of what we're pulling off the vines is what we're trying to put into the bottle. And I think it does seem different, because I don't find a lot of people that are doing it that way. I feel like, especially in Pinot Noirs, they're overworked more than anything.
Okay, so we're going to put you on the spot a bit. We have a few of your wines that we're going to try today. And we just want you to tell us a little bit about what Ramado is and why the concrete egg is so cool, which we got to see when we were there.
So Ramado is typically a wine made made with Pinot Gris that is fermented on the skins. So our Ramado is a Pinot Gris that we put into our concrete egg. As you mentioned, we're having a lot of fun with the concrete egg. So they've been making wine in concrete ever since they started making wine, kind of in rectangular vats. But the concrete egg, so it looks like an egg. And our concrete egg holds about 275 cases, but it's porous, so really thick walls. So, and some people think there's a liner, but there's not. It's just being really thick, porous walls. And so when the wine goes in there, it naturally circulates through fermentation, which is interesting that it keeps moving through fermentation. And so that you get more of that skin contact too. And then we take it out of the egg and put it on a little bit of oak for a bit. I like it. It's just a bit more Pinot Gris to me is... I like Pinot Gris, but it's not that interesting, honestly, in my opinion. I love it, but I like, actually, Pinot Blanc is one of my favorite white wines. It's just a little bit more interesting to me, has a little bit more complexity to than Pinot Gris. So I like that we do this just to have something different with Pinot Gris, but I also like the acidity that you get from it by having the, and the tannins from the skin contact.
Okay, so why is it shaped like an egg?
I think I might have mentioned it. So the egg shape, the wine, when it comes in there, naturally circulates in the egg. So as it circulates, it gives more of that complexity as the wine's moving through fermentation too. So we actually do an all concrete egg Chardonnay. I'm not a big Chardonnay fan, but the Chardonnay is really lovely because it kind of gives off a natural creaminess because the lees, which is the sediment and the wine, settles down the side of the egg, and we leave the Chardonnay in there all the way till we end up bottling it. So not an oaked Chardonnay at all.
You're bringing us back to that day. I remember the Pinot Blanc and the Chardonnay. I remember all this. It was all delicious.
When you guys were there, we tasted from the concrete egg, I believe. I pulled some of the Chardonnay out and then compared it to the bottle. Like I said, if people are fun and excited about wine, I get excited and like to share extra little tidbits too. So that was cool. So again, I just feel like with the concrete egg, it's more of a natural way of winemaking, because if we were to make the Pinot Gris on its own, we put it into the tanks and it's cold chill stabilized. So because the egg is so thick, it also naturally keeps it cool. So we're not forcing it to stay cool.
Well, we'll have pictures on our Instagram for people to see the concrete egg. Yes. It really is a big concrete
egg. It's an egg. It's super cool.
Before we finish this out, we want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you and find Compton Family Wines. So how can they find out more about Compton Family Wines? How can they order them? How can they reach out to you, follow you, etc.?
Nice. Yeah. Our website is ComptonWines.com. And then we are on Instagram and Facebook. So Instagram, Compton Family Wines. Facebook is Compton Wine. And even on our website, I think I'm pretty accessible in there. You have my email and maybe even a phone number to directly contact me. And ever since COVID, even when people call, they are surprised that I answer the phone because I have all the calls forwarded to me. So I'm accessible. I don't want to miss a conversation with anybody about wine. So.
And then people can order your wines online and they can also join your wine club, right?
Yeah, we do have a wine club. And you guys are in Seattle. So one of our best distributors is up in that area too. So you should be able to find our wines up there. We've been kegging wines for a long time. And so there's a lot of restaurants up there that have our wine on tap. So that's something we started a long time ago because we were frustrated with not such great quality glass pour wine. So we do a keg wine that's more affordable so restaurants can have a nice quality wine and save money and not have to deal with the packaging.
Well, Tabitha, thank you so much. We had such a good time talking
to
you.
So fun. So informative. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me the time and it was fun talking with you guys. And I loved meeting you all.
And we have one other thing that we just want to mention. We have Sunday night dinner. It's a big family thing that we do, Italian food, Italian wine. Although, you know, we did a Pinot last weekend. So you and your family, anytime you're in Seattle, you are invited to Sunday night dinner.
Yes. You just let us know and we would love to have you.
Oh, speaking of, I'm at a wine dinner on Bay Bridge Island in the beginning of June, Heyday Farm. So that'd be a fun way to meet us too.
Yeah.
Well, we will have links and all sorts of stuff in our show notes so people can see that. And we just want to thank you so much again for taking the time and being with us. And we hope we'll see you at Sunday night dinner soon. And we hope we see you down at your winery soon too.
Yeah, love it. Thanks for the invite. Take care.
Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you.
Well, that was really fun. And really insightful, Carmela.
That was
and
so fun.
I know. And now I'm really excited to try or retry some of the wines that we talked about and that we bought when we were at the winery. Are you ready?
I'm so excited. Yes.
Okay.
Brings
so
back great memories.
I know. And we have, again, what we have is we have a Chardonnay. Can you believe it? We have a Chardonnay.
Wow.
But this Chardonnay is aged in the concrete egg, so it doesn't have any oak. And we'll also have the Ramado or the Pinot Gris, which is the orange wine. And we're also going to have one of their Pinot Noir. So I think we're going to get right down to it.
Okay.
All right. So our first wine is the Compton Concrete Egg Chardonnay. And I will say all
so
of,
cool.
I know. On all of their bottles are screw caps.
See how easy that is.
We
too?
Love that. We yes. love that. And, I noticed this. I don't know why I didn't notice it before, but they're on their label. It actually has a little picture, like a little drawing of the concrete egg.
I know, it's so weird. It is kind of a weird thing when you go in there and you see the egg.
It was weird. We weren't ready for that.
No.
And we sat right by it and we actually tasted some right out of the egg.
Yeah, that was super
fresh from the egg.
That's what I mean. They were, Tabitha was just so willing to share. And I mean, she was so proud and it was just such an experience.
Yeah, it was super fun. Okay, so this wine is from Oregon, from the Willamette Valley. Again, obviously, it's Compton Family Wines. This is a 2018. Now, this is normally priced $25. It was $18.75 at the Winery Club discount. So, you know, reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. And again, if you want to find it, but really, you're probably going to have to go to the website.
Straight to the winery.
Or drive to the winery right outside of Corvallis. Mm-hmm. It's 13.5% alcohol. It's 100% Chardonnay. So let's get to it. What are you smelling?
Well, what do you got on your nose?
Okay, so right off the bat, it's I'm getting a little bit of a you say cotton candy. I'm kind of getting a little bit of a cotton candy kind of smell.
Okay.
But I'm also getting a little bit of citrus and some apple, I think.
I'm getting apple, I think, too. Maybe even a little pear.
It's
a little less tart smelling to me, but
do you get a little bit of citrus on there?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Mm-hmm. It's got almost got, you know, it's interesting when it's an unoaked Chardonnay. To me, it reminds me a little bit of a Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. Like it has a little bit also of that kind of pineapple-y kind of smell.
I think so too. I was going to say something. There is that little bit of acidity.
Tropical fruit kind of smell to it.
Yes.
Something like a fruit that you'd get in Hawaii. You know what I mean?
And this would probably be really nice to drink in Hawaii.
I think it
would
too.
Let's find out.
A little bit of fish. Let's try it. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's really nice.
So nice.
It's really light.
It's not oaky at all. You can really tell the difference.
Yeah, because they don't oak it.
That's what I mean. Like, you can really tell the difference that it's not, that it's in this concrete egg.
Yeah, and one of the things that Tabitha talked about is they like their wines to be highly acidic, and you can really get that. Like, it makes your mouth water.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a really nice, firm acidity to it, and it's going to go really well with food.
Mm-hmm. Really balance it out, I think. Mm.
And she does talk about the concrete egg giving it a little bit of, like, butteriness or creaminess. I can taste a little, like, it's got a little creamy mouthfeel. The other thing that I don't know if this is because it's in my head, but I can taste, like, flint or, you know, stone, like something stone or rocky, like you licked. And this is not an atypical taste. Like, this is something that you have in white wines where it's almost like you licked a stone.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, it's kind of that clean taste.
Totally clean.
It just feels, you know, it comes off a little bit differently. And I think that concrete egg makes a lot of difference with that too.
I agree, Carmela. And I am tasting like pineapple. I'm tasting a little bit of pear, but it's pear or like tart apple. Like maybe more of like a tart apple, like a Granny Smith. Don't you have a little bit more like Granny Smith? But like Granny Smith, if you wiped a little lemon on it.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Right. Sometimes you do that to apples because you don't want them to turn brown.
Okay. Do you know my mom used to do that? I'm not kidding.
I know.
And you know what else she used to do?
I did too.
I think she made this up. She used to dip it like in 7-Up. There's supposed to be lemon. I don't know.
But, I don't know.
What would you pair this wine with?
Oh, I think it would be really nice with any type of white fish. Any type of fish, really. Shellfish.
Grilled shrimp.
Yes, grilled prawn, grilled shrimp. Delicious.
And I think also spicy foods. I think it would go really well with spicy foods, like Asian foods, spicy Asian foods or Indian foods. I think it would taste
Mexican
really nice.
Food.
Mm-hmm. It would taste really nice.
Really nice. This is delicious.
Well, because I normally don't love Chardonnay because I don't love oak Chardonnays. I really like this because it doesn't have the oak on it, but it still has some creaminess to it. You get that bright fruit taste in
it. I wonder what like true blue Chardonnay drinkers would feel about this or what they would, you know, like if it would throw them off or is it that, you know, different to them?
I think it depends. I think people who really like oaky Chardonnay might not like this as much, but I think people who like a Sauvignon Blanc or who like a Chablis or a Pinot Grigio or something. I mean, it is bright. It is a bright wine.
Yes, it is.
I will say, like, it's the more heavy, I'm tasting it, no.
It's not. It's clean. It's delicious.
Yeah, the more I'm tasting it, the more citrus I'm getting, too. Mm. It's very bright. Mm-hmm. It's a bright, I don't know how
fresh.
To. Yeah, I don't know a better way to describe it than, like, in the mouth, it tastes bright, which is a weird thing to say, but that's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
So, Carmela, what rating would you give this wine?
I think I could give this a really solid, like a 9, I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with this.
I mean, I'm definitely, I'm like teetering between a 7 and an 8.
Mm.
And the only reason why is I don't tend to be a Chardonnay like lover, but I am.
But have you ever given a Chardonnay a rating like that?
Well, a Chablis. I do like a Chablis. Right. Mm-hmm. I like a Chablis. Well, I'm gonna go with an 8 because I think this is a wine that I would buy, and I think
We bought it.
We did, and we did buy it. But I think it would also be, you know, a lot of times we talk about a crowd pleaser.
This would be
I think it's a crowd pleaser.
Well, and it's such a conversation wine too.
Yeah.
Just to be able to talk, like somebody's looking at it or tasting it and feeling like it's a little bit different than that they would imagine for a Chardonnay.
Yeah.
What a cool thing to talk about. I think that's what is so clever about what they've done with this egg.
Yeah. And when you see our Instagram, we will have pictures of the egg and we'll also have pictures of the label on the bottle, which has the image of the concrete egg, which is kind of fun. So you can talk about it. Mm. It looks a little bit like a spaceship. Okay.
I kind of wanted to get inside it.
Oh.
Is that weird?
A little bit.
Well, I mean, I just, not that the door was far too small, but I mean.
Is it because it was filled with wine and that's why you wanted to get inside of it?
Well, I mean, it's not a bad idea, you know, but it just looked like something you would get inside.
Worst ways to die.
But just to say, it just was a cool
thing. Do you think it would echo if you were in there?
I don't know.
Let's find out.
Let's ask her.
No, we're going to find out. Okay. We're going to put you in the egg.
Wow.
Okay.
That's frightening.
We're going to take a pause. We're going to put Carmela in the egg and we're going to try our next one.
We'll let you know. If I come back, you know I survived.
There you go. Okay, we are back and we are going to try our second wine. This is from their garden series. This is the Red Pinot Gris. They call it a Ramato. And I will be honest, when we went there, I was like, I don't know what the hell a Ramato is. I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I said, is it like an orange wine? And she was like, yeah, it's an orange wine.
How did you know, is it like an orange wine?
Well, because you would say it's a rosé if it's a rosé. And I should have known Ramato because it's an Italian word and this is an Italian thing. But orange wine, so the difference between a rosé and an orange wine is basically the amount of time that it spends on the skin. Mm-hmm. So a rosé wine is usually 24 hours or less. Ramato can be up to 5 days.
Makes sense. When you see it, it really makes sense.
Yeah, and what's always interesting is like a Pinot Grigio, we see it as a white wine, but the grape is red. So the skin is red and that's what gives the wine its color.
So interesting.
Yeah.
That's where like winemaking is like amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is from Oregon. It's from Philomath. 2019, that's the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is normally $20, so right in our price range, but we got it at $15 because we are part of the wine club.
I just think it's funny you said that's the year.
What, 2019? Yeah, like as if somebody's going to say, oh no, it's $20.19. No.
Wow. That's over. That's over. It's 19 cents.
All right. That's
over.
Enough.
Okay. I shouldn't be so, you know, critical.
And if you want to find this wine, you go directly to the website, go to Compton Family Wines. This is only 12% alcohol. So it's low alcohol. And again, Pinot Gris.
It's a beautiful bottle.
It is really pretty.
It's clear and there's gorgeous. Like,
remember, she said these are the flowers they grow on their farm and they were in her wedding. Remember?
Right. That is such a cool thing. Everything about it is beautiful.
We'll have pictures of this on our Instagram, but the color of the wine is very beautiful too.
Oh, it is. It is. And it's so interesting. What are you smelling? Because like right out of the gate, you know what I smell?
Hmm.
Well, I smell like earth. I kind of smell earth.
Okay, I get that.
Do you get that? But also it's like I can smell the skin.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't
like
know
grape
why.
Skins.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I, for some reason.
I feel like I'm getting a little bit of watermelon. I feel like I'm getting bit of strawberry, mm-hmm. maybe even a little bit of like a cranberry or something.
I just don't think it's as sweet as a strawberry. I think the cranberry is a good descriptor for it.
Maybe some tartness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also has a little bit of flour. Don't you smell a little bit like flowers?
A little bit. I'm still getting like a little bit of soil or dirt.
No, not perfumey. You don't have any perfumey kind of smell to it?
I think a little bit, but
I'm getting perfume, like a potpourri kind of smell, something like floral or like, you know, like a floral spray, like the sprays, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No,
just a little bit.
It smells nice.
Yeah.
Very
it's
nice.
A great smell.
Yeah.
And but again, the color is just beautiful.
It's kind of interesting though, because it kind of smells like it looks.
Oh, that is interesting.
I don't know why, but it almost, you know, it's kind of a dirty rosé,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Dirty rosé, you dirty rosé.
But you know, like it's not quite as, I mean, we know it's a Pinot Gris, but it's got that definite orange look.
Now you're making me smell orange. I honestly feel like I'm smelling a little bit of orange, but anyway, I also do smell a little bit of like, and it is a little oak. I almost feel like I am smelling a little bit of vanilla or some sort of baking spice or something baking.
It's a little bit spicy. Yeah. There's a little bit of spice on it.
So let's taste it. Oh, I'm getting berries, like tart red berries, like a raspberry. Are you getting I'm getting a tart, like a raspberry. Like a tart berry. Underripe berry. Nice.
Oh,
like it's
yes.
Nice.
Yeah. I can see that. I can definitely taste that.
Mm. I'm really tasting that.
It's really this combination
crisp.
To me, though. This is going to be weird, but a red wine and white wine taste.
Yeah.
A combination.
It's pretty crisp.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's delicious.
Like, I would say both this wine and the wine before, I was saying they're like bright.
Mm-hmm.
There is something really bright. I think it's the acidity. She talked about the acidity. I think there's a lot of acidity in these wines.
Mm. So what would you eat?
I would eat, I think it could go with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like it's a little bit more of a charcuterie, like a pre-dinner wine.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what this would go well with?
Hmm.
I think this would go well with like a turkey, like a really light white meat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost a little bit afraid because it's so bright, but also has this really berry flavor that it might overwhelm like a soft fish, fish.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with a salmon though. Like, what would you think with like a grilled salmon?
More so than just like a flaky white fish, I think. But I think like white meats, actually, you're right. Even like pork or...
You know what I was thinking is, and maybe this is too typical, but like Thanksgiving dinner.
It would be really nice.
Really good.
Mm-hmm, really
like
nice.
With
it looks like fall too.
Mm-hmm.
Just something about it it is a beautiful bottle, beautiful color, and it does look like fall. I could see it for Thanksgiving for sure.
You know what? It's kind of got a little bit to me in the flavor as I keep tasting it. A little bit of tea, but also just like an herbal tea and a touch of citrus, like lemon. What rating would you give this wine?
I think that I'm leaning towards like a pretty solid 8.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm the same. You know, I'm kind of debating because I like the wine. Obviously, I bought it. Mm-hmm. I like the wine. I feel like it's an occasion wine, like a wine that you have for certain occasions. Like
mm-hmm.
to me, you want to show off to a friend, you have this wine.
Right.
Thanksgiving dinner. You're having a dinner party or appetizer, whatever. You're having a bunch of people over and you want to start them off with a really cool wine. Like, I think this is
it. Right, right. I do think these wines are definitely, like, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both of them. I mean, just the way they look and the way they taste, they're something to talk about, too.
Yeah.
They're definitely more than just the wine. Like, they're kind of an experience. So, I'm with you on that. This would be a great gift wine, too.
Ooh, really good gift wine.
So great.
And
so
unique.
So pretty, unique. There's everything about it is just a little show-stopping in some ways.
It's pretty cool. Mm. I like it. So I'm giving it an 8 as well.
Okay.
You know, to me, this is more of a special occasion kind of wine. I think a fantastic fall wine. The other thing I would say about it is, you know, if you haven't tried an orange wine, you should try an orange wine. Like, whether it's this wine or some other orange wine. They're not made of oranges. It's about the color of the wine and the amount of time it spends on the skin. I think it's something you should try.
Right. And also, again, it's that experience. If you're, like, having another couple over or you're hanging out with friends and you're like, hey, let's try this, something we don't normally drink. It'd be fun. It's kind of a little bit of an adventure.
I agree. Okay. We're going to take another pause and we're going to clean out our glasses and we're going to try the last wine. Okay, we are back and we are ready for our last Compton wine. This is the Compton Pinot Noir Llewellyn Cuvée. So they have several Pinot Noirs. This is the Llewellyn Cuvée. This is also Willamette Valley. And this is a 2016, which I thought was really interesting. So what they do is they release their wines after several years. They put it on French oak for about 18 months. But what I thought was interesting is this was the latest version, and it was a 2016, you know, so it's wow. an older wine, mm-hmm. which I like because that means it's really ready to drink. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times I see this all the time. People are opening up wines and they're too young. I really like that they release these wines after several years. I think that that's really smart, and it does help with the really get the taste of the wine. This one is $34, so it's a little bit
wow.
high, you know, but on the winery club, when I went through the wine club, it was $25.50, so it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And I think for the quality of their wines is not. I mean, Oregon wines can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon Pinots, I mean, can be very expensive. And so for the quality of this wine, I don't think that's very expensive. Again, go to the website. This is 13.8% alcohol, so it's on the higher end. Pinot, 100% Pinot Noir, and it has actually received some high ratings. So what are you smelling?
Well, no, I'm getting that kind of Twizzlery, red viney smell.
Totally.
I'm definitely getting that.
You really need to swirl it because mm-hmm. it does really bring out the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I think Twizzler, cherry,
mm-hmm.
cherry licorice, cherry nibs, like this to me is kind of a classic Pinot, particularly like Oregon Pinot. Not as deep, like sometimes with the Pinots, like California Pinots, you get almost a cherry, like a Cabernet smell.
Right.
This
right.
one has a definitely like a nice cherry. This is the kind of smell I like.
Yes.
This tart cherry
mm-hmm.
or sour cherry or some sort of sweet cherry smell. I also smell a little bit of smoke.
I was just going to say mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you were going to say that because yeah. I am getting a little smoke on it too.
A little bit of smoke and maybe a little bit of like a tobacco-y mm-hmm. kind of, you know.
I mean, there's a little, it's sometimes with those, like a pipe that somebody would smoke
yes.
has a little bit of a sweetness, like a little.
Ooh, pipe tobacco
yeah,
is a good one.
A
I like that.
Different.
You know, I'm remembering my Uncle Roy. I'm not kidding. My Uncle
right,
Roy.
No, I know.
Who used to smoke a pipe and mm-hmm. I loved that smell and he used to let me when I was a little kid sit on his lap.
And...
No, I would sit on his lap and he'd let me blow out the
oh,
match
oh.
and I thought he was the coolest guy ever.
Is that nice?
Yeah,
the
and I remember.
The memories you have of people smoking around.
I know, but you know what? I really like the smell. I have to
yeah,
admit.
Yeah, no, it is.
I
it
like
has a little
smell.
Bit of a sweeter smell than just like a tobacco. My grandfather, my great-grandfather did the same thing. And I remember him packing his pipe and that fresh smell of that
tobacco
is kind of what this smells like.
Okay, so I cheated and I tasted it.
Wow, cheater.
I just really like their wines are really, you know, this is going to sound dorky, austere. They're super acid, which is a good thing. It's got a sharpness to it. It's good with food.
Right.
But it's also got a really bright cherry flavor. What do you taste?
No, it's actually really, well, we love Pinots. So this is kind of hitting the marks, I feel like, for what we like. I mean, it has a little bit of a, I actually feel like there's a little bit of youthfulness.
Oh, no, I was going to say the exact same
thing.
I mean, this is a 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could sit for 5 more years. Easy.
Wow.
Easy. And really kind of like come out and blossom.
Right. It would almost like the edges might be a little bit mm-hmm. smoother mm-hmm. on it. But no, it's really nice. And you're right. With food, this actually would partner so well.
I think you nailed it, Carmela. I think some wines do need to age. And I think this wine, like a lot of Pinots, Barolos, Cabernets, they need to age.
Mm-hmm.
We're drinking them too young. We're not really getting the full flavor. You know, this is young. This is a young wine. It's got a lot of brightness left on it. And that's not a bad thing at all. Like for what it is right now, it's great. I think in 5 or 10 years, it's going to be, like I've said this before about some Barbarescos that are like 10 years old, where you just kind of want to give them a hug. Like you just kind of love them.
What? Oh,
I know.
I think you do feel that way about your wines, though, just in general. Like, give it up.
What food would you pair with this wine?
I think it could stand up to a lot. I think it would pair well. Like a burger or...
Grilled red meat.
Grilled, yeah, yeah.
Not and also barbecue. I think this would actually do really nicely with a barbecue. Because the acidity
would.
Is so nice on it.
This is another crowd pleaser. You know,
totally.
This is one of those times that I wish that my tolerance was like... like that of a, you know, giant. Because I could just drink these wines all night. All three of them, though. Yeah. Like, I wish
dangerous.
I could just keep...
This is what you would call a dangerous wine.
This is what happened to us when we visited Compton.
Yeah, but at least we were there for like 5 hours.
Right, but we enjoyed ourselves so much because everything was really nice.
And then what happened?
Then we signed up for the club. We bought a lot of wine.
I bought a case of wine. Yeah. Like, it was just...
It was easy to do. By that point, it was like, we're in. We're exactly. in. We've had the best time. And that's how I feel about these wines, is that if there were more hours in the day, I could just sit here and drink all day.
We might just do that. So
that would be a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. What rating are you going to give this wine?
I'm going to give this one, and again, like, I love Pinots. Like, I'm not a huge red wine drinker, but I'm kind of teeter-tottering between, like, I mean, a very solid 8.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, I mean, even, I, this is something I could drink, maybe even a 9.
Yeah. I'm going to give it an 8. I think in 5 years, I might give it a 9 or more. Mm-hmm. I think right now it's an 8. It's a great wine.
It's an excellent wine.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to drink it. But I think it needs to sit and mellow out. But it's a great wine. And I think, I'm serious, in about 5 or 10 years, it'd be a 9 easy. So which of these wines are you finishing tonight?
That's what I mean. This is tough.
So which one?
I could, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to the Chardonnay.
Okay, nice.
I think I am.
Chardonnay Shay right now is super happy with you.
Wow, shout out. 22 years, too.
Well, you know which one I'm going to go with.
Yeah. Oh, I'm for sure the Pinot.
Yeah, but I could go with any of them. I'm super
happy. Yeah, that's how I feel tonight. Like I said, can we just do this for the next 12 hours?
We can.
Okay.
Okay, so let's do the taste profiles expected from, first of all, a Chardonnay. You ready?
Okay.
This is from their website. Perfumed nose of citron, so that's citrusy, right? Mm-hmm. White flowers and vanilla. Balanced acidity, juicy fruit, delicate stone fruit, white peaches and white nectarines. A classic Chablis, which is an unoaked Chardonnay. Quince, so that's apple, pear, and citrus. We definitely got that. Star fruit, which is a sweet, sour flavor like ripe pear or green grape or orange. Lime peel, white blossom chalk. I think we got a lot of that.
We did really well. Yes.
A red Pinot Gris, so a Ramato, so a, you know, a orange wine. From the website, they say, rush of crushed raspberry, pomegranate, berry leaves, and a hint of iron. A blend of fruit, citrus, and orange peel. And then the classic Pinot Gris Ramato. Orchard fruit skin. You were definitely saying skin, right?
Yes, I was.
Acacia flowers. I said flowers, right? Peach. Mm-hmm. Baking spice aromas. Dried fruit. Tropical fruit and herbs. And then on the palate, dried fruit with stone fruit skins and spice. So we were getting some of that. Baking spices.
For sure.
Yeah. How did we do with the fruits?
Well, we had, you out of the gate were saying watermelon and strawberry, but then you pulled in and said that tart red raspberry is coming through. You had cranberry. You know, I think I was tasting pomegranate, but I did not say that.
I don't really know pomegranate, but you do. So you bring that
one
up.
But it does have that tartness that you would find in that wine.
And they did say berry leaves. So I was definitely, there was some berry, right? Definitely
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. And then the Pinot Noir, reviewers of this wine have said aromas of cherry, spice cake, and fertile earth. Mm. I think you had earth, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Prince of Pinot said exuberant cherry dominates the fruit profile. Mm-hmm. So we got that. Spice, earth, and bitter herb, an accent core of tart wild raspberry from the wine enthusiast. We definitely got that. A classic Pinot Noir is cherry, raspberry, clove, mushroom, vanilla. Oregon Pinot Noir tends to be cranberry, earth, tea, cherries, plum, strawberry, and raspberry.
Okay.
So I think we did okay.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And as usual on the website, we have show notes and links and all sorts of fun stuff. All right. Well, that was awesome.
That was so much fun.
I mean, I can't wait to go back.
I'm ready any day.
I agree. Okay, so for those of you listening, we would, again, love for you to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love for you to give us a rating and a review so others know how much you like it and they'll come and listen to it. And we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you like, what you don't like. Tell us some wines you want to try. Tell us if you want to be a guest. Or just tell us about a wine you love or hate and we'll talk about it, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Visit our website at thewinepairpodcast.com. You can find our show notes there. You can comment or reach out to us there. You can also reach out to us and follow us on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast and also on Twitter at Wine Pair Podcast.
Wow.
I know, I've been doing a lot on Twitter and nobody's following me. I don't know what it's
okay. What's going on?
And you can also reach out to us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com and we would love to hear your comments and we hope you tell your friends and your family and your enemies and your loved ones
and your barista
about the Wine Pair Podcast. All right. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short, so stop drinking shitty wine.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
In the ocean of my prognostication, I was drowning in my expectation. Oh, what a love was, and what a life could be, and the happy ending at the end of our story. I was thinking too much.